And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
That's the chorus from a song called The Dance by Garth Brooks. I'm not a huge country music fan, but I did enjoy Garth, especially back, I guess it was in the late 90s when that song came out. And it came to my mind when I was reading today's scripture lesson from Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11. Because the exiles there in Babylon, they had to endure a period of suffering and of loss. And yet that was exactly the time when God was going to bless them and teach them and restore them to all they had lost. And that's a bit of the message of Garth's song, right? If I had known, I might have chosen to skip all the suffering, all the pain, but if I had, I would have missed the dance. So today I want to look with you at those two verses from Jeremiah. They are what I call the coffee mug verse, or verse 11 is, because it talks about God having a plan and a future and a hope. But I want to look at it in context with you today and talk about what are God's plans that are mentioned in that verse, and what does that have to do with us. So I'm going to start in verse 11. The first part of that says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." I'm just going to pause right there. What plans? Now this is still part of that letter through Jeremiah to God's people. It's at the beginning of the exile. We already heard last week that there are some that are saying, oh, God's going to send us back right away. But Jeremiah had that more difficult message, but the one that lined up with Scripture and with all those great themes of God, the covenant and the promise and the mandate to populate and fill and bless the earth. And so here in verse 10, God speaks through Jeremiah, writes through Jeremiah, and says, you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years, three, four generations. We saw that first or second week in Jeremiah, God said, I have marching orders for you. I want you to build houses and plant crops and marry and have children and grandchildren. In other words, live your life there. And God went on past that to say, I want you to seek and pray for the shalom, the blessing of your captors, of that city, Babylon. So there was definitely a plan that God had in place for this period that could have been described fairly as a period of trial, of suffering, of sorrow. I want to remind you about what that shalom is, because it's reused in verse 11 today. It is that we have trouble translating in English, but sometimes it's we say welfare or well-being, sometimes prosperity. Though that leads us kind of down the wrong track, but it's prospering under God's blessing. Sometimes peace, but it is a sense of wholeness and peace with God, but also horizontally with humanity, with those around us. It's very parallel to that idea of loving God and loving neighbor. Shalom is doing those well and experiencing the blessing that comes from that. So in verse 11, God knows the plans that he has, right? That's 70 years in Babylon, and we've talked about what that looks like. There's a mission and a purpose to it. Plans for welfare, right? And not calamity. That is for blessing. And Jeremiah defined how God's people would experience that. It was through seeking and praying the well-being, the shalom of the city. And God said, in doing that, you will experience my shalom, the thing that you want, that you need. So here in verse 11, God says, that's part of my plan too, that you will experience it through giving it. It's not for calamity. I haven't abandoned you. I am with you. And then verse 11 says, and I know the plans I have, 70 years in Babylon, shalom, welfare, and a future and a hope. God says, I will visit you, in verse 10, and bring you home. The purpose of that time in Babylon, it's not wasted time, right? God has them there for a reason. God sent them there. It is so they can rediscover what it is to be the blessing people. And that's what they are. As the children of Abraham, they are the blessing people, blessed to be a blessing. And perhaps that's something they could only learn there in Babylon. So all of that is the plan that God has for them, right? It's not, oh, the plans I want to have in the future. It's what God says, and God has spelled it out to them in this letter from Jeremiah. I have you there for a defined and long period of time, and it has reason and purpose and a mission. Don't miss it. I have you there to experience and to give shalom, blessing, well-being. And I do have a future and a plan and a hope to bring you home, but only as you rediscover how to be my people, how to be blessing people. So I'm going to come forward to us today. I have, for several weeks now in this series, found points of comparison between our COVID time, almost a year now, and this exile plan. There are points of disconnect as well. COVID, for one, is I don't believe it's a punishment by God or even discipline by God. It is a virus. And it's not just as much as we can be tricked into thinking this sometimes. It's not an American phenomenon. It is a worldwide phenomenon. It is an illness, right? So that parallel is not there of God sending his people to Babylon to learn something. I don't believe that this virus has been sent for that purpose. And yet, I do think we have to ask the question of, is this time, this year, maybe a year plus, is it wasted time? Has God turned away from us? I think Jeremiah would say, not at all, not at all. Let me remind you of the lesson God spoke through me to his people who were suffering, who had lost so much. I said in the past weeks, everything has changed and nothing has changed. Right? Everything has changed for the exiles and for us. Our work has changed, school has changed, our employment has changed. For some, income has changed. For some, health has changed, some freedoms have changed. It feels like the whole world has been turned upside down. And yet nothing has changed in terms of God's love and purpose and mission for us. Right? God created us for worship and service and obedience to his glory. And no setting can undo that. I mean, we're so used to our lives that we think, well, I have to have all this in order to function, but God's word and God's purpose has stood through thousands of cultures and times, in freedom, in war, in prison, in health, in sickness. God's purpose stands. Nothing has changed. Though his people were taken from Jerusalem and the temple and their homes and their families and imprisoned captive in Babylon for multiple generations, nothing had changed in terms of what God had for them and wanted for them. For us, this last year, church looks different, family life looks different, so much looks different, but nothing has changed in terms of God's purpose that we worship and serve him through loving others, through blessing others, through prayer and scripture and worship and so much more. So I want to say that the key question from this passage, if we were going to lift something from this whole series, it is this: how can we serve God in obedience and in faith? That's the declaration of Jeremiah. Though everything has changed, nothing has changed, we still must ask the same question we've always asked: how can I serve God in obedience and in faith? I want to suggest some examples of that. One is prayer. The last thing anyone can lose is the ability to pray, because it comes from the deepest part of who we are and where we are, right? We don't even have to have others. It's just us and God. I challenge you, I challenge myself to dig into your prayer life during this time. Spend time in the scriptures, praying the Psalms, praying for your family, your loved ones, your neighbors, for those you don't know, those you struggle with, right? For COVID, for our culture and the divide, for the political situation and the racial situation and anything else the Lord puts on your mind. Pray, pray, right? What a blessing it would be if our prayer life thrived because of how we'd spent our time this last year. And it's not too late to start that even now. Same thing about Scripture. I challenge you to dig into Scripture in a new way. I mean, why would it be that during COVID our quiet time or our devotional time would be set aside? We should have more time and availability to dig into God's Word, to say, God, what is it that is your heart? How can I follow you and serve you? We've talked before about reaching out to people, whether that's on the phone or email or text or, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever it may be, Zoom. Make those contacts. Just because we can't physically go be near people, we have the ability to connect and say, how are you doing? Especially for folks who may be sequestered alone, right? Who need that voice to say, I'm still thinking about you. I care about you. Is there anything I can do for you? Right? Can I pick up groceries? Can I bring you a meal? And that's a great idea too. Think of someone, maybe once a week, who could I take a meal to or deliver some groceries to that may not be able because of the risk factors to get out right now. Maybe it's a note to a teacher or a police officer or a medical worker, just encouraging them, right? This time is hard for us, but especially for you all. Know that I'm praying for you. Our church is praying for you. If there's anything I can do to support you and encourage you, let me know. Go for more walks in the neighborhood. As you know, just pray for your neighbors. Whether you know who lives in a particular house or not, just pray for God's blessing. It's that whole seek and pray for the well-being of your city. Right? That's just a starter list. But that it would be the case that during this year of challenge and struggle, we would look back and say, oh, look at all that God did, how God blessed us and those around us during this hard and difficult time. The question is, how can I serve God in obedience and in faith? Though everything has changed, nothing about God's purpose and God's plan have changed. That's the dance I don't want to miss, right? What God is doing, and God declares it, I am moving among you and accomplishing my will for my glory. And I want to be a part of that. I hope you do too. God bless each of you this day and this week. Go to love and serve the Lord. Amen.